Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyayam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyayam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. Urvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. Ladies, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yasvam Veda Savedavit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdvamalamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Chidamsi Yasya Parnani Yasvam Veda Savedavit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Urdva Mulam, with roots above, Ada, downwards, Shakam, branches, Ashvatam, a banyan tree, Prahu, it said, Avyayam, eternal, Chidamsi, the Vedic hymns, Yasya, of which, Parnani, the leaves, Ya, anyone who, Tam, that, Veda, knows, Sa, he, Vedavit, the knower of the Vedas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose hymns are the Vedic, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Shri Prabhupada's purport, long purport. After the discussion of the importance of bhakti yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter that the purpose of Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas. The entanglement of this material world is compared here to a banyan tree. For one who is engaged in fruitive activities, there is no end to the banyan tree. He wanders from one branch to another, to another, to another. The tree of this material world has no end. And for one who is attached to this tree, there is no possibility of liberation. The Vedic hymns meant for elevating oneself are called the leaves of this tree. This tree's roots grow upward because they begin from where Brahma is located, the topmost planet of this universe. If one can understand this indestructible tree of illusion, then one can get out of it. This process of extrication should be understood. In the previous chapters, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of the material entanglement. And up to the 13th chapter, we have seen that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the best way. Now, the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental service of the Lord. The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of this chapter. The root of this material existence grows upward. This means that it begins from the total material substance, from the topmost planet of the universe. From there, the whole universe is expanded with so many branches, representing the various planetary systems. The fruits represent the results of the living entity's activities, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Now, there is no ready experience of this in this world of a tree situated with its branches down and its roots upward. But there is such a thing. That tree can be found inside a reservoir of water. We can see that the trees on the bank reflect upon the water with their branches down and roots up. In other words, the tree of this material world is only a reflection of the real tree of the spiritual world. This reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire, just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. Desire is the cause of things being situated in this reflected material light. One who wants to get out of this material existence must know this tree thoroughly through analytical study. Then he can cut off his relationship with it. This tree, being the reflection of the real tree, is an exact replica. Everything is there in the spiritual world. The impersonalists take Brahman to be the root of this material tree, and from the root, according to Sankhya philosophy, come Prakriti, Purusha, then the three gunas, then the five gross elements, Pancha, Mahabhuta, then the 10 senses, Dashendriya, mind, etc. In this way, they divide up the whole material world into 24 elements. If Brahman is the center of all manifestations, then this material world is a manifestation of the center by 180 degrees. And the other 180 degrees constitute the spiritual world. The material world is the perverted reflection, so the spiritual world must have the same variegatedness. But in reality, the Prakriti is the external energy of the Supreme Lord, and the Purusha is the Supreme Lord himself. And that is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Since this manifestation is material, it is temporary. A reflection is temporary, for it is sometimes seen and sometimes not seen. But the origin from whence the reflection is reflected is eternal. The material reflection of the real tree has to be cut off. Then it said the person, when it is said that a person knows the Vedas, it is assumed that he knows how to cut off attachment to this material world. If one knows that process, he actually knows the Vedas. One who is attracted by the ritualistic formulas of the Vedas is attracted by the beautiful green leaves of the tree. He does not exactly know the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is disclosed by the personality of God himself, is to cut down this reflected tree and obtain the real tree of the spiritual world. Urdhvamalamadakshakam ashvatam prahur avyam chadamsi yasya parnani yastvam vedasa vedavit. The Supreme Personality of God had said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and it was hymns of the leaves of the Vedas. One who knows this tree is said to be, is known as the knower of the Vedas. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swaitanamane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Percharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasyatya De Satarne. Many interesting points are mentioned in this verse. For instance, one of them is that there are 10 billion verses in the Vedas, and all of them are meant to help us become detached from material existence. And after becoming detached from the material existence, become attached to the spiritual existence. Or if we take to Krishna consciousness, then we'll become attached to the spiritual existence, and automatically our attachment to the material existence will diminish. Due to the principle of Vishaya Vinivartante, Nirharasidehinam, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya, Param Drishva Nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though that taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagement by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. The spiritual world is all pleasureful. Just as here, there's varieties, but they're not pleasurable. For instance, there are colors, there are sounds, there are smells, and there's variety, but they don't give us unlimited pleasure. They give some pleasure. That's why we paint the walls here, they're yellow. And I guess some people take pleasure from the yellow walls. What's that? Well, they remind, at least Krishna's dhoti is yellow and Srimati Radharani is golden, so there's a connection there. But they could have been painted black. Everything could have been painted black. We all could be painted black. And that would give a different taste, a different mellow. Therefore, even color in this material world gives us a certain amount of pleasure, a certain amount of taste, but not very much. In other words, I personally don't roll on the ground when I see the yellow color on the walls. And if it was pink, I wouldn't roll on the ground either. Now, if I was Krishna conscious, I'd probably roll on the ground whether it was pink or yellow. It would remind me of something about Krishna. And it's Krishna that, and in the pastimes of Krishna's associates, which are actually full of pleasure. Of course, one who's actually in purified consciousness, everything is non-different from Krishna. Everything is therefore equally pleasureful as Krishna is pleasureful. Not only helps remind one of Krishna, but in itself is pleasureful when our senses are purified. Everything we see and taste and smell and hear gives us transcendental pleasure with our transcendental senses. But that's inconceivable to us right now because we're covered and we're experiencing everything through covered senses, and we think that our covered experience is reality. And that what we're hearing about, the spiritual world and transcendental senses and spiritually, that's more or less like a dream. And we think this present dream is reality. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati bhutani yasyam jagrati bhutani sani sha pashutomune. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for the self-control is the night for all sentient beings. This doesn't necessarily only apply to the materialist. To some extent, it applies to us also. Because our experience, as long as we're not conscious of Krishna fully, or even to a large extent, then our experience is more or less material. Unless we eat with our tongue, unless we eat through our mouths, we can't taste anything. Unless we smell with our nose, we can't smell anything. But that's not true for one who's in purified consciousness. For instance, the deities, because they have spiritual senses, just by hearing the sound of the pujari offering the food, they can actually taste the food. I don't know what one thing we know, they can just glance at the food and eat it. For us, we'd think that, you know, you can't get much taste by glancing at the food. For instance, if we had the Sunday feast, and we served it out to everyone, and right before they put their hands on the prasadam, we quickly gathered it all up. And told everyone, we don't want you to overeat. One glance is enough. I don't think people would appreciate that they got their full satisfaction from the meal. And if we think the deities are like that, we put the prasadam down, they glance at it. Because I don't think you put five plates down. So I guess Lord Chaitanya glances first and everyone else glances in succession. But to think that, you know, their eating is something like our eating. You know, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm really hungry today. I'm going to have to glance for a few minutes at the food. It's inconceivable. The whole spiritual experience is practically inconceivable to us. And the more we become conscious of Krishna, the more we'll realize how inconceivable everything actually is. In any case, here it says that this material world, with all its variety, is just a reflection of the spiritual world. So we shouldn't be afraid of going back to the spiritual world. It'll be very boring that I'm going to go there and, you know, there's no internet. There's no television. There's no restaurants. There may not even be any pizza. That was a hard one. There's Sandesh, though, and Burfi, and all kinds. No one starves in the spiritual world. And besides that, in the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body, so you can eat as much as you want, and not only you don't get fat, but you don't get indigestion. And every time you remember the prasadam, it tastes even better. And everything is enjoyable there. So this idea, I'm going to, you know, I studied so hard, I went to college for 4 years, got my degree, whatever degrees we have. I'm going to go there, I'm going to wind up a coward boy. Is this what I studied so hard for? You know, I was an atomic physicist working at a plant, you know, controlling the nuclear fission in the entire country. And now I'm, you know, in the kitchen washing pots eternally. But it's not exactly like that. There, everything is fun. In other words, if you become a coward boy, you just play all day long with God. And you eat 3 or 4 times a day, as much as you want.
And it's all cooked by Srimati Radharani and the gopis and Mother Jasoda. So who can imagine? The best cooks in the spiritual and the material world are cooking for you three times a day. And every time Srimati Radharani makes something for Krishna, it's always different. She's been doing it eternally, and it's always been different. Except for the something ladus, I forget what they're called. What's that? Manohara ladus, yes. Krishna's favorite. So, sometime if we go there, and from now until eternity, we'd get to taste the Manohara ladus, that Krishna's favorite preparation. I mean, God, if he has a favorite preparation, it must be good. He can eat everything. He eats the whole universe is up. And if he's attracted by Manohara ladu, it must be pretty special. But here it mentions that this material world is a reflection. It's not that it doesn't exist, but it's just like the reflection of a apple on the water. It's there, but it has no real substance. It's just temporary. There's no question of eating an apple reflected on the water. Similarly, here everything is changing, so we can't get any real pleasure, permanent pleasure, from anything here. Therefore, it's not unusual for people to hanker for something here. Because presently I'm not satisfied. Therefore, I want satisfaction. So I have to hanker for something. Either I hanker for something material, and eventually I get it, maybe. Especially if it's something simple. Nowadays, people are encouraged to hanker for things that don't mean anything. Like they hanker, you know, to buy an iWatch or something. that will be the culmination of their existence, is when they put the iWatch on their hand. They say, see, I made it. I'm perfect. So they make these things that, just like the ass, with the carrot in front of him hanging from a string, pulling a heavy load, taking a step forward to get the carrot, and the carrot goes a step forward also. And at the end of the day, the washerman allows the carrot, the ass, to eat the carrot, and he thinks it was worth the heavy load, pulling the heavy load. So similarly, in the material world, everyone's working hard to get the carrot. And when they get the carrot, they think it was worth it, the struggle. Now I got the carrot. Now it was such a good carrot. Now I'm going to pull twice the heavy load. So maybe I can get two carrots the next time. So everyone is hankering because we want happiness. So unless we come to the spiritual platform where our hankering for Krishna immediately, simultaneously produces transcendental pleasure, then we can't be satisfied. Because unless we hanker for Krishna, we're going to have to hanker for something material. In that way, this material world is producing all different temporary arrangements, and we're trying to become secure in all these temporary arrangements. We think, well, now I have a house and it's going to be secure, or now I have a family, it's going to be secure, but it's all just like sand just filtering through our fingers. Nothing's secure here. It may be secure for 50 years, but 50 years, what is that? What is 50 years in this existence? Although we'd like to think it's a long time, but actually has no meaning. Brahma lives for 311 trillion years, and he's in anxiety. He's going to die soon. As I've said before, 1 second in Brahma's life is 90,000 of our years. Which is approximately, we go through 1,000 births and deaths in 1 second of Brahma's life. And Brahma only lives for the exhalation of Mahavishnu. So our existence here, as a real substance. Just as our billions of lifetimes before had no real substance. So this, whatever we've gained, we're very going to shortly lose. And whatever we lose, we might get back very shortly, although we may not want to get it back. Therefore, one has to come to a level of experience where we wake up. Believe it or not, we're actually asleep right now. Our real selves were sleeping. And by contact with Krishna, through the process of devotional service, we actually wake up. And when we wake up, then we're no longer, when we revive our eternal identity, then we won't go to sleep again. We'll actually be awake. We won't fear anything because we'll be existing in eternity. And as long as we're sleeping, we're always fearful we're going to be annihilated because what we're identified with, namely this body, we know it will be annihilated. And what we're going to do next, we're fearful that somehow or another I won't be who I am. I'll be someone else. No, we'll just be in another dream, another illusion. Just like at night, we go to sleep. No one, for instance, is that right? It's only 7 o'clock. What's wrong with the clock there? Is that 7 or 8? No, it's 7. What's that? No, it says 10 to 7 on there. Who to believe? Your clock has gone to sleep there. Should wake it up. In any case, no one's fearful of going to sleep. I'm going to die because I'm sleeping. I'm going to lose my identity tonight. No, everyone happily goes to sleep. Matter of fact, we look forward to one of our main happinesses in the material world is sleeping. If you're tired, at least, or if you're in class. So no one's fearful of going to sleep, but then we forget who we are, and we think we're something else. So death is the same thing. It's just like going to sleep and then waking up to some other, or dreaming that we're something else. But all our plans, all our whatever we think in this dreamlike existence, we're gaining or losing. That will all be lost when we get another body. But if we revive our spiritual consciousness, then we enter into our eternal identity and our activities will be the same whether we're in this body or in some other body. Or if we're actually awake. Whether we go back to the spiritual world, remain in this material world, it won't make any difference because we'll always be with Krishna and his associates. Therefore, one has to recognize that all our efforts, all our anxieties, all our comforts, all our desires, if they rest in this material world, it's not going to be very auspicious. And if we transfer them to the spiritual world, especially to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to the service to Krishna in this world through the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then our desires will actually be fulfilled. As we develop more and more ability to concentrate on Krishna and experience spiritual ecstasy, then we get more and more enlightened. Enlightenment means I become more and more conscious of my eternal identity. Prabhupada gives the example of a coconut. Unripe coconut, a green coconut. If you shake it, you can't hear anything. But when the coconut becomes ripe, then the inside falls out, and when you shake it, you can actually hear the inside. So eventually, as we become ripe, then we wake up, and we actually see ourselves as the passenger in the material body, rather as the material body, or as the doer of the activities. We see ourselves as the desirer. And we understand that as long as I keep on desiring to serve Krishna, then I'll get more and more enlightened, more and more conscious of my real self. I'll come back closer and closer to reality. So therefore it becomes more and more exciting to simply desire to please Krishna. And when our spiritual body awakens, when our spiritual consciousness awakens, then it's spontaneous to please Krishna, to want to please Krishna, because Krishna is so lovable. And then we automatically, our desires are transferred from material existence to the spiritual existence. And we get more and more happiness, more and more enlightenment, and we enter into the realm of eternality. So I'll stop there, although it's only 7 o'clock. 5 to 7, actually. Did you turn an hour ahead, or you couldn't figure it out? Still 5 to 7. It's broken. It's moving. Well, it's moving. Just, it's not moving fast enough. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Yeah, regarding the words, though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense and the taste still remains. If we accomplish this, that we get a higher taste and we cease these engagements, we still got these impressions in the mind. These bad samskaras, how to get
rid of it? When we're actually in ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning we're just trying to survive, so we don't sink into the ocean of material existence. But then gradually, as we become more conscious, that I should actually focus my attention on Krishna, and we realize how to actually feel Krishna's presence, we start to actually feel Krishna's presence, and Krishna reciprocates with us. We feel transcendental ecstasy, and the transcendental ecstasy literally burns away all our past samskaras. Then whatever we thought we could never get free from, that attachment, we can't even remember what it is. It's not even within our memory anymore. So that will happen gradually. But the more ecstasy we feel, the more we forget both our pious and our sinful activities. They just go away. Taidam so samridhira gonir. Basmatsat kotejana kanagni sarvakarmani basmatsat grute tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of transcendental knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions to material activities. In this world, there's nothing so sublime and pure is transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who enjoys this knowledge enjoys the self within himself in the due course of time. Faithful man who is absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses quickly attains the supreme transcendental peace. Anything else? Yes.
Said before, we should analytically study this dimension.
Well, you have to go back to college and to the botany school, and they'll teach you about banyan trees. So you should have to go and study banyan trees. Oh, you have to understand the nature of the material existence. Otherwise, we won't be interested in getting free from it. We'll think that somewhere, somehow, there is going to be some happiness, sometime. And therefore, we're going to stay around here. For instance, we may think, all right, Kali Yuga is bad, but Satya Yuga, something to look forward to. Or now, I've done enough devotional service, I think I have at least a round-trip ticket to the heavenly planets. So I don't have to work so hard anymore. I'm sure my soulmate is somewhere there. No, one has to understand the nature of illusion, the nature of how the material world is functioning throughout all the different planetary systems, at least get some idea of it, so that we don't become attracted to it. That's why the Srimad Bhagavatam is there, describing that even when we go to Indra Loka, and there's apsaras there, and there's everything is nectar, the parijata plants, and Nanda Kanda and Afaras, but still Indra gets defeated by the demons and has to flee into a lotus flower and live there for thousands of years, the stem of a lotus flower. witch is with tuberculosis is running after him. So there's no happy, safe place in the material world. We have to become convinced of that. Otherwise, we'll maintain some attachment here. As long as we have some attachment, it's not possible to go back to the spiritual world. We can't get to the spiritual world and say, why couldn't the airplane is just about to land? And say, wait a second, I forgot something and go back. It's like that movie I mentioned before of Tukaram. Tukaram, such a great devotee, Sankirtan leader. He's going back, the Vaikuntha airplane is coming to bring him back to the spiritual world. He comes running into his house, tells his wife, come with me, the Vaikuntha airplane is coming to take us back. And she goes, sorry, I gotta finish the household work first. So he said, what can I do? So he leaves, goes to all the villages, everyone's going there glorifying Tukaram. And the Vaikuntha airplane's there, he's just about to get in. His wife realizes, wait a second, maybe I should go. So she starts running and running and running. She almost gets there and the airplane's taking off and then she faints. She, a little miscalculation on her part. So we want to stay around here to do something. Then we're going to miss the boat or the plane. So we have to understand, we have to become convinced there's nothing here for me. Otherwise, we have to stay here. We believe that there's something here to look forward to. Anything else? Yes.
I was thinking about this reflection on the this what we call it reality, like we see tree, and then we see also reflection of this tree. And we think, oh, this is a tree, and this is like just reflection. How we can apply in our lives it's a prayer to Krishna that he can reveal us that we can see like in the Bhagavad Gita this picture that we see super soul and soul in the reality.
You want spiritual vision. What is the mantra to get spiritual vision? Abracadabra. Open vision me. No, the Hare Krishna mantra is sufficient. Because it's non-different from Krishna. But we have to approach Krishna in such a way is that when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we actually experience Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. So that takes becoming better and better at devotional service. Better, and that will help us. Krishna will give us the intelligence how to chant in such a way as that he'll reveal himself to us. And when Krishna, as much as he reveals himself, then we'll see everything. Is it actually more what's actually going on than we see now? There's no need for anything separate. The Hare Krishna mantra is sufficient, but we have Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can train our eyes with knowledge so that we'll know how to act better to please Krishna so he reveals himself when we're chanting. But everything centers around chanting Hare Krishna. There's nothing better than Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and they're both there in the Hare Krishna mantra. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.